Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Harry has a little man in sweet white and snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the man was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Welcome to Reese on the Radio, right here on Blog Talk Media. It is April the 2000. There are things I'd like to get out of the way. First thing to get out of the way. The first thing. Right now.
Time out. Time out.
Go ahead.
I heard about a quarter of what you said. I mean, you're breaking up really bad.
Okay, I'm sorry. There's one thing that I need to say right now. Okay. I think I need to get out of the way. And it's not incredibly important. All that important, but I have to bring it up. How in the hell did Steve Harvey make the person of the week on the 89 news? Well, it's the world news I enjoy, but how in the hell did Steve Harvey make the person of the week? Because his little movie did $33 million at the box office? Is that really why? Okay, yes. Think like a, act like a lady, think like a man. It's acceptable. I get chicks dig it. Whenever you talk about something important or as sex relations, when I say sex relations, I mean the battle of the sex. It's just that book so well. So it's just that to you. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. That's all it is. It's a relationship. These things don't do well. He didn't reinvent the world. Chicks are just into this. And they went to these stuff. The movie about games were out for like 3 or 4 rows to go see that movie. At that point, Hunger Games meant to die. If you hadn't seen The Hunger Games into the third week of its release, and you came to school and they asked you, hey, did you go see The Hunger Games? And you go, you're a clown.
I think more people read The Hunger Games than seeing the movie.
But the bottom line is, am I still breaking up my own right yet?
Yeah, you are breaking up really bad.
Oh, I don't know what the reason is for this. I couldn't tell you. I'm trying really, really hard here. See, that connection is up. Am I saying bye-bye?
Not sure what it is, boss.
It's really that bad.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I understand what you're saying and what you're talking about.
Well, I'm sure everybody
Wow.
Really, really cares if this movie came out when nothing else good was out. Okay? And it's a chick flick. I know guys will go see it because like that comedian Kevin Hart. I like him too. He's fun. I think he's entertaining. I'm just not rushing to see the movie. I'll catch it on DVD. You know? Or be a good friend of mine. I won't say his name, JC. Or possibly that I can, you know, possibly, well, I'm not going to see how it is to watch it. Is that how did this guy become person of the week? This world news show, when they pick somebody who's person of the week, pick somebody like, you know, like hero type. I've got chapters with orphans. He's a paraplegic who climbs Mount Everest. Maybe a sister. Maybe it's a girl who plays basketball and she stays in Delaware because her sister has autism or extreme retardation. Yes, I can say the word. She's extreme retardation. She's a successful basketball player who goes to a division school but decides to stay in a small college to be close to her sister, who's always been her best friend. You know that person, the person of the week. But a guy who wrote a movie about relationships, I'll tell you why Steve Harvey is the person of the week. I'll tell you how he did it. Steve Harvey is person of the week because not only did he make a movie called Think Like a Man, he didn't just make a movie called Think Like a Man, but it grossed more money in its opening weekend than Tyler's biggest film to open up. I'm almost certain of that. And we'll double check all those. In fact, JC, if you can, go to boxofficemojo.com and check out Tyler Perry's movies out of all the movies and what their debut weekends were and see if it surpassed this $30 million. I'm almost certain this happened. See, here's why it's so important. That it was a black cast.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they talked about that this morning on the show.
Okay, so it surpassed even Tyler Perry's biggest debut.
Yeah.
Because correctly, Tyler Perry's biggest debut, I have some association. You remember this. He had a movie that came out in 2005, Diary of a Mad Black Woman. I said that movie debuted number one in my hat, live on air, when I was with Star and Buck Wild at Power 105.1. We were seated at the time. And I lost the bet. The movie debuted at 20 million, 20.1 million. It was either 22. I know it's 25, but it was 20 million. The movie debuted. JC could probably double check that, but I'm on this. That movie debuted. Somewhere around $22 million. I lost the bet. It was the number one movie that weekend. And I got it. I was sick. Now, let me tell you why this movie is so good. And I haven't talked about it yet because I'm a movie buff. Some people are aficionados. Some people are film critics. I'm a movie buff. I was the first guy on a website in 2006 called Trailer Park. This is why I called Trailer Park was, you know, the double entendre. I was reading movies based on their trailers. I didn't even go see the film. Watch the trailer and then rip it. I didn't even have to see the movie. I could see the trailer and tell you right back that it was garbage. In fact, when I'm here and watching the trailers at the beginning, during the movie trailer, as soon as the trailer's over, I want to check that out. I do my famous Sonor. Ignore. It's a bore. You know, it's a bore. I'm going to sleep with that. The reason I think a man did so well. A key reason. Think Like a Man is a very universal title. That's fun. It's Think Like a Man. If you're the 5% of people who go to the movies who don't know what it is that they're going to watch and they're seeing titles and they don't know what it is that's out or what it isn't, that 5% of moviegoers, they're probably going to go see a movie like that sounds like that might be funny. Oh, it's a comedy? Yeah, let's go check that out. It never remembered itself as a black film. Very important. Never promoted the movie as a black film. Second, they didn't drag out every Negro to promote this film. They only brought out one guy, the most popular of the entire cast, the star of the movie, Kevin Hart, the person who every critic says steals the film. And Kevin Hart is socially accepted, critically acclaimed, and from what I hear recently, worldwide known. He's doing more in Johannesburg and in Ireland. So he was the selling point in this movie because he was the laugh factor. I had no idea that Megan, middle name, can't act so good in the film. I just found that out 2 days ago. I know Taraji P. Henson's in the film, but she doesn't go to any of the male actors in the film. There was our power here. His name in the film is Taraji P. Henson, and Megan really so good was in the film.
And well, they got a little more star power than that, though. That
who
film.
Else was in it? Oh,
Chris
and Brown. But he had a bit part, didn't he?
Michael Ealy?
Yeah, nobody knows who he is.
He is a show on CBS.
They never even... No, he doesn't. What does he have?
What's that?
What does he have on CBS?
He's got a cop show.
No, really? You're talking the wrong guy.
No, I'm talking Michael Ealy.
Michael Ealy does not have a cop show on CBS. The only black...
It's, on one of the, it's brand new. It's on one of the networks. I'll look it up in one moment.
Oh, MIP 22?
What is that?
Is that the show talking about?
Could be. Or I shouldn't have said cop, a drama show.
Well, but the only black on the CBS that's worth even knowing is that guy Hill, who's on CSI New York, and that's about to be canceled. I don't think anybody, I don't know, but none of those people are in it. But this movie was not promoted, and really, really nobody was promoting this movie. An all-black cast, even though Pearl Frost is in the film. More drug down their throat, this was all black movie. Nobody did that. That's all they say. If you want to give Steve Harvey a medal, because he did not promote this as a little black film. That's the reason why Lucas had a hard time doing retail. The only problem was the fact that it was all black cast. They won't let me do a black
You know
movie.
What? I listen to Steve Harvey show in the morning, every morning, and I never knew, because I want to see this movie. I think it's going to be hilarious because one of my favorite comics is in it, the show.
Kevin Hart.
So I never heard him or any of his promoting this. I wake up, my clock is set to the Steve Harvey morning show every morning. And I drive listening to it every morning. And I never heard them promote this show. I never heard them promote the movie. Never.
Really?
I would have never.
You don't listen hard enough.
Yeah, no kidding, because he promotes it every early morning. He promotes this movie. In fact, he's the cast members on the show. On his show, he promotes it hardcore.
I listen to KRNB in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to it, like I said, on KRNB in Houston, And the weeks prior to the show, he had all the full male cast, and he had then the female cast the next day.
Yeah, but I don't think that his promotion of the movie is what took this over the top. He never promoted this as a black film. That's what I think he did. I didn't see him once promote the movie as a black movie. It wasn't on the
page. And they also did a huge, huge, huge internet campaign as well.
That they did this out. But critics like this movie. The people who like romantic comedies like this movie.
Yeah.
Romantic comedy.
Well, I don't think that's why he got picked person of the week, though. I mean, the guy does a great deal. He's a hell of a philanthropist.
Maybe. Philanthropist is somebody who gives money, donates a lot.
He has his mentoring weekend.
I a lot of shows, but I don't think they mentioned that. They talked about this movie about relations. I mean, here's a guy who's on his third.
He'll probably, I guess, deemed a relationship expert because they do, you know, the Strawberry Show every morning, which is normally about relationships. He's always giving somebody some relationship advice on his show. I mean, about that.
And you know what else too about that, you guys, which kind of shocks me that most of America is even getting it because you're right. It is your Boys from Mars, Girls from Venus, whatever that book that you called out earlier. It is that type of book, but he actually tells it from an African American point of view. And it's mostly about the shenanigans that black guys pull on black women.
Do you think that shenanigans that black guys pull on black women are not the same shenanigans that white men
pull on
white
women?
But the way he tells the stories, and even in his advice, he doesn't use common language. It's mostly hood language. I mean, not street, but, you know. Urban language.
Urban edge to it. But I believe that the selling point of this film was talking about relationship, period. Not that the movie doesn't depict it from a black angle. I'm saying that the way it was promoted, marketed, it was a relationship.
And with Kevin Hart being a selling point, and I don't get that either because, I mean, he just came off of one of the hottest comedy tours in the country and had one of the biggest selling DVDs in recent time for a stand-up comic. And I can't see white America really, you know, getting into that comic.
Really? Not really, really. I don't agree there because me being a main comedian, I'll tell you, like, I'll give you another perfect example, like Cat Williams. Like, Cat Williams has a very edgy urban comedy.
And Cat Williams is not even edgy and urban. He's straight up yet.
Yeah,
he's corny.
That old fellas. He's not corny. I love Cat Williams.
I don't find him corny.
I can't tell you how many times I watch Friday After Next and pray that Terry Crews get a hold of him in the bathroom.
His films are garbage. Let's put that directly. His films are garbage. I would never ever run into his films. His comedy, on the other hand, is very, very direct, ghetto. But if I look at Kevin Hart, and there's something about Kevin Hart still had an urban deal to it that universally received.
Yeah.
Soul Plane? Are you kidding me?
No, you're talking about stand-up. Stand-up is completely different with him. And I get him, because when I watch his comedy, this is what I loved about Bernie Mac. Bernie talked about it from a perspective, but made it relatable to a white audience. That's the reason why that show is so successful on Fox. It really appealed to, it was his ghetto approach to the nuanced way of parenting mainstream America.
Dude, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm not sure. What is it you have to do over there if you got to shoot the mic? I'm not sure. But when you listen back to the show.
Yeah, I got to do something about it. Let's just take a break. It's that time anyway. Take a break. I'll figure it out. Good job. That's the ball. We haven't had this
month.
Yeah.
It's January.
Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got to talk about... After a year ago, he said he wasn't going to spike the football. It's really so stick around.
Hater.
For life.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits. He rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new
chicken
snack?
What's in the new chicken wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in the...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Boy, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Reese.
Who do we have on the line?
All right, this is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I-L-O-V-E.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Welcome back. It's Reese on the Radio. 26 minutes to the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. All right, I'm working on this whole audit thing, hoping that this is a whole lot better. But anyway. So, spiking the football. I'm pretty sure you guys understand the terminology, what spiking the football is. Okay, you understand what it means politically when you spike the
No.
Okay. It's when you do something great, and then you pretty much take a victory lap is the best way to give a better analogy or sports analogy. You take a victory
unsportsmanlike
lap. Nah. You take a victory lap. In other words, you celebrate the accomplishments that you made.
Okay.
So, it was last year, of course, when in fact, I think Monday is the anniversary of the shooting and killing of Osama bin Laden. And the first interview that President Barack Obama gave, he said, you know, look, SEAL teams, Navy SEALs went there and got him and killed him. You know, we owe them a debt of gratitude. They killed the man responsible for 3,000 deaths on September 11, 2001.
That he couldn't take ownership of that.
Right. He took ownership of it. He never congratulated George Bush's policies. In fact, he got rid of them. The enhanced interrogation, he got rid of it. So, but other than that, he said, look, it wasn't appropriate to spike the football. President Obama's words, not mine. In other words, you know, look, we're not bragging. You know, got it, but we're not, you know, we're not spiking the football here. And that was what he decided to do. It turns out that next week he is going to be in an interview, though the White House is trying to walk it back, that it's not happening, but it's too late because NBC has already released a press release saying that Brian Williams, of course, you know, they're anchor on NBC Nightly News, is going to be doing an interview with everyone who was there, Secretary of State Clinton, Leon Panetta, and Barack Obama, and of course other senior staff that were involved in the operation that got Osama bin Laden. And it's going to be held inside the Situation Room. Excuse me. The Situation Room that rarely ever is visited by anyone. You don't open the Situation Room. It's an extremely private room.
Why?
The Situation Room. I mean, it's secret. It's relatively secret. I didn't know when I found out today, not so secret in the Obama administration, there's a picture of Jay-Z and Beyonce sitting in the Situation Room.
Oh, God.
Can you believe that? And this is not a celebrity. Anyway, there's a photo of them inside the Situation Room. I'll show you the photo in a minute, in 2010. But anyway, they're taking a victory lap on the anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden because, of course, it's an election. But here's the part that I'm absolutely stunned that the White House is doing for the campaign. But it's their first political ad, and they're going after Mitt Romney. Going after Mitt Romney, talking about what Mitt Romney would do, in essence, if he were in charge of the decision to get Osama bin Laden. The ad goes like this.
That's one thing George Bush said that was right. The president is the decider in chief. Nobody can make that decision for you. Look, he knew what would happen. Suppose the Navy SEALs had gone in there and it hadn't been bin Laden. Suppose they'd been captured or killed. The downside would have been horrible for him. But he reasoned, I cannot in good conscience do nothing. He took the harder and the more honorable path. And the one that produced, in my opinion, the best result.
It's not worth moving heaven and earth, spending billions of dollars just trying to catch one person. He was referring to the hunt for Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. What did he mean by that? Because it's generated a little controversy, given Osama bin Laden's role in killing, 3,000 Americans on 9/11.
He had to decide. And that's what you hire a president to do. You hire the president to make the calls when no one else can do it.
In the end of the commercial, when you watch it, it asks, in the opening of the commercial, would Romney had made the right decision? It's the opening of the commercial. Now, Mary, a bugger, has already identified the narrator of this article, and that you said what?
It's the previous president, Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Here's the part that baffles the crap out of me. As many people may remember, and maybe you don't, it's Bill Clinton. September 11th ever happened. Did you know that?
Well, yeah, but everybody blames it on Bush. I had a girl at work the other day. Mm-hmm. Actually, we were talking about politics, and she blamed 9/11 on Bush. And she said that Bush concocted it. And then she turned around, and I offered her to call into the show. And then turned around, and she said to me, I said something about, you can call into the show. We have a political show, whatever. She said, well, how many people on your panel are not white?
What?
Like that, you know, I was just like, what?
Anyway.
Not that that was relevant, but.
I don't even know how that's funny. Not relevant. But here's a break of Clinton. This is a book that was written by Lieutenant Colonel Robert Buzz Patterson. He's author of Dereliction of Duty. And he is what happened in the fall of 1998 when Clinton, National Security Advisor Steve Berger, scrambled to notify the president that bin Laden had been located and that the military had a two-hour window. Berger picked up the phone at one of the busy controller consoles and called the president. Amazingly, President Clinton was not available. Berger tried again and again. Bin Laden was in striking distance. The window of opportunity was closing fast. The plan of attack was set, and the Tomahawk missile crew were ready. For about an hour, Sandy Berger couldn't get the commander-in-chief on the line. Finally, the president accepted Sandy Berger's call. There was a discussion. There were pauses. No decision. wanted to talk with his secretaries of defense and state. He wanted to study the issue further. Berger was forced to wait. The clock was ticking. The president eventually called back. He was still indecisive. He wanted more discussion. It gets worse. Bin Laden was evidently a sensitive topic for the former president, as evidenced by a testy interview with Fox News' Chris Wallace in 2006. Watch that interview. In which a visibly irritated Clinton rejected the contention that he didn't do enough to catch the terrorists and accused the George W. Bush administration for not even trying to get Bin Laden. He says, quote, "I didn't get Bin Laden, but at least I tried. That's the difference between me and some, including all the right-wingers who are attacking me now. They ridiculed me for trying, and they had 8 months to try, and they did not try. I tried." So he's referring to George W. Bush becoming president in January 2009 and not getting him in 8 months. Here's the interesting, probably more inflammatory part. Inflammatory part about all of this. Dick Pullman of the Philadelphia Inquirer wrote in 2002 that Clinton spurned Sudan's offer in 1996 to hand over Bin Laden. That's right. Sudan had offered to hand him over because they knew he was there. But he refused to let them do it because the United States lacked enough evidence to indict him. Viz Pullman noted, would prompt Ansar Ajiz, a Clinton friend who had sought to negotiate a deal with him, to meant Clinton's failure to grasp the opportunity represents one of the most serious policy failures in American history. Clinton, however, fends his actions in a 2004 Vanity Fair interview. At the time in 1996, Bin Laden had committed no crimes against America, Clinton said. So I did not bring him in because we had a basis of which to hold him, though he knew he wanted to commit crimes against America. The 9/11 Commission report, which I've also read, the CIA received intelligence in May of 1996. They found him in the fall of that year. In May of 1996, suggested that Bin Laden was leaving Sudan, despite high concern about Bin Laden's status at the time. No effort was taken to kill him or capture him because there was no indictment against him. And in 1998, less than 2 years later, a series of bombings at U.S. embassies in Africa. They were in Tunisia and Kenya, to be exact. Okay. Tanzania, which Bin Laden helped plan, launched a series of failed missile strikes that may have narrowly missed Bin Laden in Afghanistan, even though the terrorist leader is not specifically targeted. Former president looked weak, Pullman wrote, and follow up. Now, somebody explain to me how you would put out, this is why I say that this president is not only out of touch, but he's a complete freaking moron, or the people running the campaign are idiots, that the guy wouldn't even pull the trigger on Bin Laden. It's now in a campaign ad, talk about how Obama had the strength to do what was right, suggest that Mitt Romney would not. Anybody?
I don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
So if I'm a hater, JC, defend it. You got nothing.
No. You're breaking up.
Any of this information.
I'm surprised he's even narrating a piece, considering he's got to be over my damn dead body before this man gets my support.
Oh, he's all over it because, you know what? The African-American community loves Clinton.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, they love him.
The liberals love Clinton. So, you know, Clinton's wife works for Obama. I wouldn't hear
Yeah, but they look ridiculous.
Of course they look ridiculous, but, Reese, this is the issue. That's the first time I've ever heard anything. I mean, I didn't know that history. I didn't know that history that you just read from that.
You didn't know that.
No.
This is why we didn't get Osama bin Laden. It's because according to the bill,
yeah, Clinton had him within an hour.
Yeah. No. I did not know.
Yeah. He wouldn't pull the trigger.
A lot of people that because all they do instead of reading or researching anything, so we have Google. We've got Google Chrome. You know, we've got everything. You have everything is at your fingertips. But you would rather sit on the couch and turn on the TV and listen to the rhetoric that the media is spewing you instead of.
Well, the media is not in the interest of giving you history lessons. They're in the business of soundbite. Important to the media. But again, as I always say, in the
but the media. But the media made it appear.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. Nobody knew that Bill Clinton. In fact, here's the story.
And if people were talking about this on the media, it sure wasn't anything I was.
Well, this is an interesting part because a lot of people don't notice. Now, you notice the dates that I gave, right? I said 1996, they had him in their sights. They could have killed him. And here's the thing. He said we had nothing to indict on, and he had committed no crime.
But that's not true.
What was the crime he committed against America?
Wasn't he responsible for the first bombing in the
church? Very good. Absolutely.
There you go.
I mean, I knew that. And then that didn't work. That car bombing didn't work.
Truck bombing.
Yeah. Truck bombing didn't work in the park garage.
Right.
And then the media gets on TV and says, oh, well, the architectures, according to the architecture, you know, if you take these buildings down, you have to take them down,
from the top.
From the top, yeah, in the middle, yeah, and with, yeah, you know,
very
at
stupid.
A
max. Right. Absolutely. They literally gave
the
blueprint.
They said, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You didn't get it.
The news always does that.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that before. What was insane about that was that the media made more of an inference about the guys responsible for the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center. What makes that so amazing is that the person they focused all the attention on was Blind Sheik. Now, here's the part that people forget.
Well, but what's his name? We talked about this before. And what was that damn scandal? I never remember that.
The Monica Lewinsky scandal.
No, it wasn't the Monica Lewinsky scandal. It was before the Ali North.
Oh, you're talking about
Iran Contra. Yeah, so Bin Laden has been in the game for
no.
No. Yeah.
No.
Ali North said that they asked him who was the person that he feared the most. Like
during Iran Contra?
There was something going on and he said Osama bin Laden and they said, who is that?
When? Osama bin Laden was 19 during the Iran Contra.
It had to have been like 1993.
That's Clinton news. Ali North and the scandal, the Iran Contra scandal, is in the 80s. And Osama bin Laden was 19 when he was fighting the Mujahideen.
Okay, I'll look.
Okay, so and when people say, America trained bin Laden, he was 19. And the reason why we trained him was because Iran was in a war with Iraq. And the Iran-Contra scandal was selling guns to Iran, giving the money to the Nicaraguan Contras. That's who we were helping. So we were not supposed to help the Contras. We're not supposed to get involved in that. And what was done was money that was being, that was the whole deal. Iran-Contra helped Iran by selling them weapons, that money, and then funneling it to the Contras to overthrow our government. We're not supposed to be involved. No nation building. Okay? But the bottom line was that when we were helping Iran, of course we were helping Iran, who was in Iran, who was fighting with Mujahideen in Iran to stop Saddam Hussein? Yeah, I mean, just a member of the Mujahideen. He was a soldier. He took over. Now, the Mujahideen is not al-Qaeda. It's a completely different faction. He created al-Qaeda.
So, wait, Osama bin Laden was
a member of the Mujahideen.
Okay.
Who was a
I didn't know
were
that.
Helping. The Mujahideen is a fighting force that we help to fight against Iraq.
And a lot of people don't know that. A lot of, like, common people don't know that.
But people talk about Osama bin Laden like he's a mutant. It was like, he trained him. I'm like, what do you think? He's been 40, 30 years? He's 19. when they're talking about betraying it. We only arm them with weapons to fight against a totalitarian like Saddam Hussein, who, again, if people don't remember, not only did he try to take over.
Lost you on audio completely. Well, guys, apparently we lost our host for a moment. As usual here on Recent Radio, we do this without radio without a net. So from time to time, we do run into technical issues. So just stand by. We'll be back with you any moment, and we're going to continue to discuss the Iran-Contra scandal as well as currently going on with Bill Clinton. So, guys, if you would, let me see what I got for you. What could I put in the meantime? And in between time, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Ah, boy. Hold on. Let's go ahead and find some music because it is Friday. Where we're doing our Friday night dance party. This is not a part of the dance party, so it's not going to be a part of the dance party. So what we're going to do is I'm not going to play anything fast for you right now. So hold on. Let me find something that Reese would play. And it looks like I can't find anything. Oh, here we go. Because we won't let this technical issue bother us, we'll continue it this way. It's Recent Radio, guys. Just stand by one moment.
Dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits. Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
Oh, what's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new
chicken wrap?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing, wrapped up in a tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in a...
The new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes. That's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just have to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's
talking about my arguments weak.
Yeah,
right?
What a hypocrite. Well, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that, that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said. Which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com. I'm playing Biggie Smalls because apparently my whole mic just got shot. From Florida, thank you for the tweet. Your mic is cutting out, and Kat is bigger than Kevin Hart. See, even Florida Mike agrees with me. JC, can you hear me now?
You sound absolutely a whole lot better. Absolutely fantastic, sir. Absolutely.
All right, thank you. Well,
I'm all kind of excited over here.
I'm so caught up.
It doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, and I won't drag it on. The scariest part about, the most important thing I was trying to say, was that most people were paying attention to the blind sheik in 1990. In 1994 and 95, after the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993, people really and clearly forgot the one person that guys who were caught was screaming was that Osama bin Laden took those things down. He had always been a threat. So Bill Clinton ever needed a reason. If he needed a reason, forget about it. I mean, he had suspected ties. Forget about what anybody else was saying. He had clear and suspected ties. Even if you bring him in as a suspect, the point is that we may not have had anything to indict him, but the idea is that Bill Clinton didn't take the war seriously, and to top it off, the reason why, and this was the point I was getting to before my mic cut off, here's what everyone seems to forget. In 1996, he had him in his sights, right? He decides that he's not going to do anything because we have nothing to indict him. But yet in 1998, he takes it upon himself to fire cruise missiles into Afghanistan and also into Syria. Fire cruise missiles in 1998. Even remember the biggest deal that was happening in 1998?
He was wagging his dog.
That's right. It was the Monica Lewinsky skin. So
right.
We don't have enough to bring in Osama bin Laden for an indictment. But apparently, we had enough to go see if we could kill him with cruise missiles. I mean, it's laughable.
Well, and if you remember, we blew up a couple empty tents and I think a nursery full of children.
Exactly. It was awful. I think it was a school and a hospital or something. It was awful. And it was an embarrassment for anybody like President Clinton to be a part of this campaign on the level that they're talking about spiking the football with Osama bin Laden and talking about what would Mitt Romney have done. Well, look, President Clinton.
But I still don't think Mitt Romney would have had the balls.
Based on what? The guy was a punk from Massachusetts. He never
he comes off as a punk.
You know?
We needed 8 more years of GW.
Look, as much as everyone knows, you know, or everyone always cites about George W. Bush, they said he was, you know, they said he was a warmonger and all that other crap.
He wasn't a punk.
Yeah, I mean, look, or he was a cowboy. That's one of my favorite ones. Here's the part that makes me laugh more than anything. At the time that they keep calling him a cowboy and a warmonger, they also mention the fact that they tried to prove that he dodged his duty when he was in the National Guard. You know, he dodged going to war.
Right.
But you can't have it both ways. You know, it's like you can't have it both ways. He's afraid of war, but he wants to go to war. You know, in essence, you're saying he's not willing to fight, but he can't help fight. You know, it's ridiculous. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for this campaign for Clinton to do this. And I can't help but laugh. I can't help but laugh at them. Because those of us who know, there are a lot of people out there who don't know, and then I'm going to, all they keep mentioning is that they got Osama bin Laden. I'm going to ask one question when we come back. I'm going to take a break for about a good 4 minutes. We got to get James Montgomery, and I got to get Derek the Bounty Hunter on the phone. I've got to ask one question, and they got to make the case for me. Is getting Osama bin Laden enough to reelect him? That's it. That's all I want to ask. And I want them to make their case. And I'll let them yammer on forever about it. But they got to prove to me how getting Osama is reelection. And we also have to ask a question about why not. Well, if you violate the rules when you're fired, in other words, you file a moral clause.
I'm having deja vu, buddy.
A moral clause. Should you be allowed to sue your employer when you break it? That's what I want to find out. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth a couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number is 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Television is a goddamn amusement park.
Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb and sprinkled by the snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
Ah! Ah!
I never once said, nada da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Welcome back to the show. Reese on the radio right live on blogtalkradio.com. It is Friday. That's right. You know, it's Friday night. Dance Friday night. Right here on Reset Radio. Friday. It's April 27th, 2012. I was reading an article about the Muslim Brotherhood, which has just recently taken over Egypt. And I believe has a stronghold in Libya. And a lot of people don't know this, but the Muslim Brotherhood has since visited the White House. They've had a couple of visits to the White House and to see our president, Barack Obama. What always bothers me about the fact that a group like this would be allowed in the White House is that if you know any history about the Muslim Brotherhood, you know that they are... they're Hitler supporters. That's the genesis of the Muslim Brotherhood. The beginning of the Muslim Brotherhood during World War II, they agreed with Hitler. Now, why? Well, who did Hitler want to eradicate? The Jews. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And the Muslim Brotherhood has always been, I mean, come on. Muslim Brotherhood wants nothing more than death to America, death to Israel. Well, they want the land that Israel have. They want death to the Jews. And these people who are now in control of Egypt and Libya. Here's the story that I heard today. I read today. And when I read it and I heard someone else talk about it, I didn't know how to react because I'm not good with weird and freaky conversations about sex. I'm vanilla, guys. I'm vanilla. Okay? So I don't talk, you know, people talking about having sex outside and top of buildings and with swing sets and all that craziness. In the bedroom.
Wait until you hear the story that I was told at work today.
Okay. I'm in the bedroom, shades drawn, lights off. I'm a really simple guy. All right? I'm really, really simple. So when I heard, when I read this story and then I heard someone talking about the story, I didn't know exactly how to react. Now, again, we're talking about Sharia, Muslims in general. Now, I did some investigating. When I heard this, I didn't know exactly how to respond. So you know that Muslims in Sharia law, they do not believe, not a Muslim brother has taken over Egypt and Libya. They have decided that in their law, that women will no longer be allowed to go to school or to work.
That crap ain't happening.
What do, you,
Are you kidding
women,
me? Are you kidding
I'm
me?
I'm telling you right
in
now. Okay, it'd be happening right
that,
now,
yeah,
but
forget
it,
about
like,
it.
There will be uprising.
From by
it's
whom?
Not going to continue to go
by
on.
Whom? After you hear this, you're going to freak out. So they're already getting women. They don't want women driving. They don't want women going to school. They don't want women getting educated. They don't want women to even work. And trust me, this is going to pass. It's going to be law. There's a Muslim brother I'm talking about. So then I found out, after reading this article, that there is law that's being sent to, you know, these countries that says that 6 days after your wife dies, you can have sex with her.
What? 6 days postpartum.
That's correct.
You can continue to fornicate.
You can have sex with her dead body.
Well, yeah, postmortem. Postmortem sex.
Yes, postmortem sex.
For 6 days.
6 days. Only 6 days.
Why?
It's the law that the woman has sex with her husband up to 6 days.
Postmortem.
Postmortem.
How is that going to happen?
Everyone asked that exact same question. A lot of comments that one of the articles said, how are they going to do that? One word. Rigor mortis.
Really?
Haven't thought.
I wasn't aware of this. I mean, I guess I never even thought about
it. Of course, no one does. No one thinks about necrophilia.
You just hard? No. That's why I am who I am.
Bottom line is that what sick group?
For the educational evening today.
Can you believe this? That they are actually putting this is to be a law that you're permitted. In other words, you don't have to wait. You know, you can perform.
Hold on to Obron days and have a good time.
Hell, that's really been a good time.
And then you gotta turn the dead corpse over to us.
Well, you know, yeah, but then you have to bury it. I don't know. It for me.
Fill her up, buttercup.
All right, get out of here. That's not your artist anymore. Get out. I just thought it was sick. And I heard about it, and I went crazy. Speaking
can
of.
Can you imagine?
All right, I'm done with this conversation.
Wait.
Make it clean.
Can you
keep it clean.
Can you imagine? Be on like day number three and all of this joker comes back alive or something.
Oh, all right. Okay, now you're done.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so let me get back. Speaking of sex or you know, whatever. I guess it's a horrible segue. Okay, so a woman at a school, okay, the Catholic school, she teaches art and music, from what I hear. She's not teaching anything like math. Science.
Yeah, okay, art.
I think it's art music. Anyway, so she went to her doctor and she found out that she could not conceive. She got pregnant and found out that she could not give a child to birth. So she unfortunately genetically cannot conceive.
So she had a boy.
No. She decided that she was going to get IVF, in vitro fertilization.
In order to get pregnant.
We don't know whether or not she's pregnant. Well, at least I haven't heard whether or not she's pregnant.
Then she got pregnant.
No. She got pregnant originally through natural, you know.
Okay, and what happened to that pregnant?
At baby, stillborn. She couldn't keep the child. The child died in utero.
Oh.
So she had in vitro fertilization. Try to conceive. The school she worked for and said her actions were immoral.
So the Catholics don't.
Absolutely. And they said what she did was an immoral act, so they fired her. Now she's suing. Well, she can't win that case. Especially if you sign and turn did a moral clause. She's saying that the moral clause should have a stipulation because she does not teach a major course at the school. In other words, in math, science, she's saying...
The moral clause is probably not a contingency of what you're teaching.
That's right, exactly.
Morals are morals in the Catholic values. You can't say, oh, well, my morals could possibly be different because I'm one of the teachers.
Right, I understand that. My question to you is, why? Because what I'm hearing in this is that everyone's talking about how this is going to be a debate. Yes. They're going to be debated the dinner table. Now,
well,
I don't
know. Why should it be a debate?
It's not a debate.
I mean, the bottom line is, listen, all that, you know, I feel for you. I'm sorry that you lost your job. I understand you wanted to have kids. I the way that you could, you know, kind of a last resort for you or whatever the situation was. But you signed a contractual clause in working for your place of employment, and you must
follow the
you must, and if you do that, you know, if you, it's almost like
lost your audio completely. Again, folks, can you guys hear me?
Non-compete. No. Break that.
Yeah, this is a Blog Talk issue, folks. Again, this is Reese on the radio on Blog Talk Radio. If you guys want to talk to us, you know the phone number. Our telephone number is 347-308-8701. We are currently discussing a topic.
How about
of,
now?
Looks like we're getting our host back here, guys. So bear with us one moment.
Yeah.
I can hear you, but you're breaking up really bad.
I don't understand. Because my connection line.
It has to be a Blog Talk issue.
It must be. I'm doing my best. I've got one to go. I'm not seeming to understand it. But anyway, back to my point. No indication whatsoever, and I apologize to you folks. Radio.com, radio@yahoo.com. I apologize again.
What was the last that they heard?
Well, that's why I'm going to repeat it. What my biggest issue with this is what I'm seeing more and more daily is that, one, forget about morals. Don't mean anything. Because we don't mean nothing. As far as liberals are concerned, morals are lies. No. Today, the whole and tenets of the Catholic Church. Look, you are holding us to a too high standard. That's the reason why they hate Tim Tebow. You are holding this woman to a.
I saw somebody with a bumper sticker on the way to work this morning and said, "Hold Tebow or something." It's a bumper sticker.
But that's my point. It's like you're holding us to such a high standard. And that's the Catholic Church is wrong by saying, look, you can't hold us to this high standard. You know, we're normal people, and normal people make mistakes. We want to be free-loving, free-living people. And the Catholic Church, you put too many restrictions on us. So instead of abiding by them,
they don't work for them.
That's my point. My
don't
point
involve.
Is, exactly. This is what I say. It's almost like
I have stipulations that my if I disobey those, if I do not abide by those rules, if I do not adhere to my responsibilities
I would always look at it this way. Imagine me walking into your home. And your home, you're all vegetarian, you're own all vegans. And I walk in and I go, hey, what's for dinner? And you give me some foodie, whatever crap. Whatever. It's like, okay, you guys got to get a steak for me right now. And I forced one of you, you guys got to go get me a steak. I'm going to have to get me a steak. You want me to come over here and eat dinner? You know,
that's not proper etiquette.
The host would kick Well, look, if you're not going to have the meal that's prepared for you here, then, no, I apologize. No, we're not going to cook meat to accommodate you. We don't cook meat here. And, you know, you should have known better before you came here that we don't eat meat. We,
and as a matter of fact, we don't even allow people to eat.
You go. We don't allow. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to say, well, that's not fair. You're holding me to a high standard. I have to have my steak. And why do I sue you? I mean, I can't put it in such terms, but I'm on. It's your home. The tenants are completely dismantled.
Well, this is the thing. Okay, but you know, you can't compare that to because this.
Sure,
is
I can.
You now went to somebody's home. You know, whatever the situation. You are going to work at your place of employment. You sign a contract with these people. You are in breach of that contract.
She knows that she's
what
in breach
the
of
problem?
The contract. Again, trying
to counter sue somebody.
Again, no,
when
but she's not counter suing. She's
well,
suing.
Okay, she's suing. How can you sue somebody when you are in breach of a contract that you have your name on?
But that's the thing. She doesn't believe that the contract has
the
that's
contract
the,
has.
No.
Signature.
The,
listen, this is law.
Again, the bottom line is what she really thinks. What she really thinks is very simple.
Hey, thinks, I signed this contract and,
No. It's deeper than that. And it's much more simple at this time. What she thinks, what she understands is she knows that society today is attacking Christianity and Catholicism.
Oh, of
she
course.
Knows that. And she believes that more people will side with her morally.
If the Catholics let her get away with
this. They're never going to get away with this. No one's going to allow you to walk in and violate the tenets of our religion. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to get this audio. You've got it. JC, can you do this for me? It's very important. Please do this for me. Go to bar.tv. I want you to go find Kathleen Sebelius, meeting at the Senate floor. She's talking to the guy. It's whoever the Congress is. It's Congress destroying Sebelius on the health care mandate on Breitbart.tv. It's a YouTube video. Can you download it and put it and put it in? I'll give you enough time. I'm going to give you about 6-7 minutes. I need Mary to hear this audio because. It's exactly what the breakdown and what he does in this audio.
I'm going to need you to repeat it. I caught the last of it. We're going to go to Breitbart.
Okay, Breitbart.tv. And he's got on the subcommittee here. And you'll see, in fact, there's a picture. There'll be a microphone in front of her. Her name is
I'm
Catherine.
Not getting any. I got microphone in front of her. Anything prior to that, I didn't get at all.
Okay, Kathleen Sebelius.
Somebody Sebelius.
That's her name.
Okay.
Kathleen Sebelius. Get that.
Is that under today or which date?
It should be today. It's today's date. You should see it on there.
Upload
that video because I play it for Mary. She's pregnant for years. Really breaks up how sacred they are to the conscience. We'll take a break. You'll see if the audio downloaded, and we'll be back. It's Reason the Radio. Stick around. I really need to hear this. Where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, MVPs met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese. I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps?
Mary?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, ranch dressing wrapped up in the tasty lava tortilla. Crispy chicken, wrapped up in
the new chicken snack wraps. Come and get it.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio. And let me tell you something. Nothing makes my job more perfect than interacting with you, the listeners of the Reese on the Radio show. Eric, you're on with Reese.
Hey, first of all, I want to say that you are very refreshing, my friend.
Thank you, Eric.
I do think there's too much emphasis on the race card.
Sure.
I'm sick of people who want to be treated exactly like everybody else as long as we recognize that they're different.
Yes, that's it. Chris, you're on with Reese.
Yes, hi, Reese. I just had to rebuff that guy that called you and said your arguments were weak.
Sure.
He's basing his vote on something you said, and he's talking about
my arguments weak, right?
Yeah, what a hypocrite. Boy, I hope he's still listening. Buddy, you're a hypocrite. You shouldn't even be allowed to vote.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. Steve, you're on with Reese.
Hey, Reese, I got to compliment you. You were wonderful handling that guy who was going to base his whole decision on something you said, which you handled it well. I think you just sealed the deal with the listeners, and you're doing a wonderful job. That's all I wanted to say.
Steve, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. It's Reese on the Radio right here, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. At uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton, and Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message. If you're not listening to Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, you've got no idea what you're missing. From the Daily Caller, Mr. Matthew Boyle. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad you took some time out for us.
Great to be here, Reese.
Who do we have on the line?
All right, this is Sean Quali, National Spokesman for Black Panther Party.
Sean Quali, thank you very much for contacting us and being on the show. For all the news and the people making news, make sure you check out Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it. I love it.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Reese on the Radio. JC, please tell me my audio's working okay. Did I look somewhat all right? Am I slightly okay? Not hear me?
Perfect for change.
Okay, no problem. That's all I needed to know. Okay, so how did you get out with the Kathleen Sebelius audio?
Uploading.
Okay, uploading. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, before we took the break, now listen, when it uploads, JC, immediately tell me, cut me off. In the middle of a sentence, I don't care. Cut me off. And so that we can get right to it. But the bottom line is that if you missed us and you didn't join us, what we were talking about was that a woman at a Catholic school signed a moral clause.
You are breaking up again. I can't believe this.
She signed a moral clause. How about that?
A little better.
Okay. She signed a moral clause. In a moral clause, they said she had to follow the tenets of the Catholic Church. She got pregnant. She could not keep the child. The child was stillborn because of her medical history. She then decided to get in vitro fertilization, and that broke the rules to say higher. Now, the point that I was trying to make is that there are people who believe that the Catholic Church or if religion in general does not have rights in this country. And I need you to hear what it is that happened, the exchange with the head of, she is the Secretary of Health and Services, Kathleen Sebelius. She's having an exchange. Okay, this is an exchange with a Republican congressman. And they're having a meeting talking about the legality of Obamacare. JC, how well are we doing? Are we ready to go yet?
We're still uploading.
It's a long
5-minute clip.
It is a 5-minute clip. I understand.
My part is done. It's in processing.
Okay. All right. So, I'll make sure. James is on the line, and I'm going to get Derek on the line because he actually just jumped out. I sent them a text to ask them a question because they are going to explain to me in the next 15 minutes exactly whether or not. Okay, there it is. Okay, as long as they're on the line. I got to wait until this audio comes up because it's important that you hear this, Mary. Yeah. Kathleen Sebelius.
Yeah, we're all set. Refresh your screen.
So I'll press the screen. What's the title of it?
Kathleen Sebelius.
Okay, Kathleen Sebelius. Okay. All right. I'll press the screen. Problem. It doesn't look like it is. JC, best yet, if I don't get it up, just say it in time because I want my eyes. This is why I know no one, even people who are members of our government, Secretary of Health and Human Services, has no respect for the freedom of religion in this country.
I'm going to fire it.
Okay, start off.
You said, and I quote, "This decision was made after very careful consideration, including the important concerns some have raised about religious liberty. I believe the proposal strikes the appropriate balance between respecting religious freedom and increasing access to important preventive services. There are only three balancing tests that I am aware of when it comes to matters of constitutional significance. There is the rational basis balancing test for economic legislation. There is the intermediate or mid-level scrutiny for gender-related constitutional issues. And then there is the heightened or strict scrutiny when fundamental rights are involved, and given the fact that I am sure you can see that religious liberty is a fundamental right, which of those three constitutional balancing tests were you making reference to when you said you balanced things?
Congressman, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't pretend to understand the nuances of the constitutional balancing tests.
But you would agree it's a legal.
You're talking about the preventive services.
You would agree it's a legal issue, right? I mean, we're going to wind up in the last time I was at the Supreme Court, I think you and I were there the same day during the oral argument. This mandate is going to wind up in the Supreme Court. To me, it is. We can talk about the politics all we want to. I want to talk about the law. I want to talk about balancing religious liberty with whatever else you think it's appropriate to balance it with, because you use the word balance. Which of those three tests is the appropriate test for us to use when considering religious liberty?
Again, Congressman, I am not going to wade into constitutional law. I'm talking about the fact that we are implementing the law that was passed by the Congress, signed by the President, which directed our department to develop a package of preventive health services for women. We have done just that with the advice of the Institute of Medicine and promulgated that rule.
Do you agree with me that government cannot force certain religious beliefs on its citizens?
Yes, sir.
And why can they not do that?
Why can government not force religious beliefs?
What's the basis of that?
The separation of church and state.
Well, the Constitution, right? The First Amendment. Can government decide which religious beliefs are acceptable and not acceptable?
No, sir.
And why can they not do that?
It's part of our Constitution.
It's a legal analysis. I mean, for me, this is not a political analysis. It is a legal analysis. So, before this rule was promulgated, did you read any of the Supreme Court cases on religious liberty?
I did not.
You would agree with me that our society has a compelling interest, not just an important interest, a compelling interest in having an educated citizenry, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. So when a state said you have to send your children to school until a certain age, and a religious group objected because they did not want to send their children to school until that certain age, do you know who won? It went to the Supreme Court.
I do not.
The religious group won. I think state has a compelling interest in banning animal sacrifice. Whether it's compelling or just important is irrelevant for purposes of this discussion. When a state banned the practice of animal sacrifice and a religious group objected, it went to the Supreme Court. Do you know who won that?
I do not, sir.
The religious group won. I think the state has an important interest in having license tags on automobiles so law enforcement can know who they're dealing with. When a religious group objected to having a certain license tag on their cars, it went to the Supreme Court. Do you know who won?
I do not.
The religious group won. And most recently, I happen to think government has a compelling interest in avoiding gender discrimination. But this administration took to the Supreme Court a case, Hosanna Tabor, where a religious group wanted to decide who its teachers were, even if it meant gender discrimination. It was a 9-0 opinion in favor of religious liberty. So when you say you balance things, can you understand why I might be seeking a constitutional balancing instead of any other kind?
I do, sir, and I defer to our lawyers to give me good advice on the Constitution. I do not pretend to be a constitutional lawyer. No.
Is there a legal memo that you relied on? At least when
I relied on discussions.
At least when Attorney General Holder made his recess appointments, there was a legal memo that he relied on. Is there one you can share with us?
Attorney General Holder clearly runs the Justice Department and lives in a world of legal memos.
Do you have attorney?
I'm sorry, the gentleman's time has expired.
You there?
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. So you get my point, right? All of those cases where the religious group fought the government, The religious group won.
Even though what happened, tags went to court.
When
did these cases go to court?
These cases have been gone for at least
what 100. Religious group said, we're not going to abide by your laws. We religiously believe that we shouldn't have to have license plates on our car.
Well, they wanted tags on what they wanted was they wanted tags on vehicles for Quakers and the what do you call them the I'm forgetting those groups. You know the Mormons
that have believe in having
what's the name
polygamous.
Of the No, not Mormons. The other groups.
Polygamists.
No. The other groups that don't use any technology. Why am I forgetting their name?
The one knocking on your door?
Colonial Williamsburg is they have a group out there. Come on.
Quakers.
No, the Quakers are another faction of the group. Why am I forgetting the name of them?
I don't know. Anyway.
They have Rumspringa. You know, when they allow a 16-year-old to go out into the world and they can come back and be part of his faith and be gay.
The Quakers.
The Quakers, and they have another group with it. But you know.
They make those. They
burn butter on their own.
No,
why?
But wait. They make those like heating fireplaces.
Coal burning. They don't use any technology. I don't know why.
But they sell them.
You know what the group is. But they were the ones who didn't want to put vehicle tags on their horse and buggies. That's it. They didn't want to do it because of their religious beliefs, and they won. So you get my point, right?
Why would you have to put a license plate tag on a horse?
That's what the government forced them to do, and a religious group won. They didn't hire someone based on their gender. He says, look, I agree that you should not hire somebody based on their gender, but the religious group won. So the bottom line is that here is a woman who's trying to sue a Catholic group because she didn't follow the tenets of Christianity or Catholicism. She got fired after she signed a contract. So it's clear who's going to win. When you heard that, I know you were thinking the same thing.
Well, wait, so this chick is the same chick that got fired. This chick that was talking. Oh, you just can't base off of this.
Right.
Based off this.
Exactly. Right. Gentlemen, I got you here. I got Derek the Bounty Hunter. I got man James Montgomery on the line. Let me guide
I'm
you.
Here.
And I got JT too. So I want to move on. I just want to make my point about that case. All right. So a year ago, Osama bin Laden was killed by SEAL Team 6. I want to ask one question to you guys. Is the killing of Osama bin Laden enough for President Barack Obama to be reelected? Yes or no? I'll let Derek the Bounty Hunter go first.
Man, you know what? That was a big thing, killing Osama bin Laden. You know, for a guy that went to school, my sister, who's probably a guy that I partied with at Scranton, was one of those attorneys that died in the Twin Towers, you know? So I feel killing Osama bin Laden was a big thing, a boost for America. It looks like, you know, we got some things. So, yeah, to me, it's like, you know, he killed Osama bin Laden.
That's
a lot
enough to elect him, Derek?
Is it enough to reelect the president?
That's enough to reelect him, though? Aside from everything else, because he was in the president's seat when our military
killed Osama bin Laden.
That's
enough
to reelect him?
No, but I think it's fair game to bring up.
To me, that was like, hey, it looks like his administration was actually doing
that.
Yeah, because I remember Bush and them saying, you know, it wasn't important to kill Osama bin Laden. I was like,
okay,
what?
Okay, so you're saying, but I'm saying you.
I think that was very important. As a once, you know, but. You know.
Okay, James, how are you?
Let's face it. In many ways, Osama bin Laden got what he wanted. You know, because of him, you know, we got into this whole military thing that created a crisis for our country. You know, so from that viewpoint, Osama didn't get what he wanted. He created world chaos and, you know, sent world markets into the toilet and everything. So killing him is an important part. You know, it's like, we're getting some stability back, you know, and the guy that's created headache you know, let's face it, my 8-year-old nephew, his whole life, all he's known was America at war. You know, killing this guy, you know, maybe, you know, he could sit there and say, you know, hey, that was the turning point. You know, America got out of war, you know?
Well, thank God he's only 8 and he can't vote.
What is that, God?
So, all his life is he's just known America at war.
Okay, no, I understand
well,
that.
You guys are going, ha, 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 ha. Now, that's not funny, man. That's not funny.
No,
you know,
I'm not saying it's funny, Eric. No, by all means, sweetheart, I'm saying it's funny. All I'm just saying, I was just, you know,
Derek,
making
Derek,
a joke.
Derek,
it, but
the same can be said for World War One and World War Two.
That is not true. World War Two was only 4 years long.
It doesn't matter that, okay, what about,
it doesn't matter. No, World War II was only 4 years long. Okay, this thing has been going on for over 10 years, dude. What are you talking about, man?
What about
big difference? This is the longest war in American history. What are you talking about here?
I agree with that. What about the Korean War?
Huh? The Korean War is not. It didn't go on 10 years.
Yeah, but it was.
If Obama is, you know, such the warrior, if this war is going on for over 10 years. In the 3 years he's been in office, why hasn't he ended it?
How old is your nephew?
Talking about things are winding down. Things are getting done here.
Derek,
okay?
How old is your nephew again?
Huh?
How old is your nephew again?
Wait, let me change it. He's 9. I'm taking on 8.
Okay,
no, he's 9. And his whole life, America's been at war, dude.
Okay, great. I'm glad you said 9 years. So the Vietnam War, that doesn't count?
Dude, the
Vietnam
War didn't go on. No, it wasn't.
What are you talking about?
Dude, the longest war in American history is this thing we're dealing with right now.
I say that. And guess what? The Vietnam War was just passed by. Just passed by the Afghanistan War. Yes, sir.
First and foremost, the Korean War was not even, I mean, the Vietnam War was not considered a war. Second, even if it is considered a war or talked about as a war, and even though no one will outwardly say it or they whisper it in hushed voices, that is a war where there was no resolution. We pulled out.
You're absolutely
we lost.
Again.
So you can't the Vietnam War where most people would agree that we lost that war to this one where we actually can claim victory.
But the question is, enough to reelect President Obama?
Well, being in a war was enough to reelect Bush.
I didn't hear an answer about Obama.
Look, there's a lot of factors going on here, but this war has got to come.
You know, Derek, there are a lot of factors going on. A lot of factors are that because he was in presidency when Barack Obama, I mean, when Osama bin Laden was killed, doesn't mean that it's enough to reelect him. Those are all the things. Look at everything else. No, you can't use this one thing to reelect a man. And if you do,
yeah,
so
no, there's no president that got reelected for one thing, dude.
Okay, I'm glad saying that because here's the reason why I'm asking. The reason why I'm asking is President Obama began his presidential reelection campaign with the first direct ad from the Obama campaign, and the first thing he talked about was whether or not Romney would have pulled the trigger on Osama.
Well, we definitely know Romney wasn't able to answer the question.
Why would he do that?
We know this. Romney wouldn't have saved GM. We know that much. You know, y'all are like Republicans. So, yeah, let her run into the ground. You know, Obama saved GM, dude.
Wait. So what? GM is a private company.
That private company is the biggest auto industry in America. Right now, GM is the highest car seller in the world. Again, y'all would have left it to Toyota. You know what I'm saying? Y'all would have left it to Toyota, dude. Yes, y'all would have. Yes, you would have.
Derek, I can throw this back at you.
Wait, hold on.
I can throw this back at you, Derek. I can throw this back at you. In essence, you're saying that we should have bailed out Donald Trump, right?
Man, look. Donald Trump is not as big as GM. GM, listen, man. GM is probably going to be the only thing that could save the city of Detroit, man. Detroit, come on, man. The population is declining, man. Something has to. That's a major American city. Something has to save it. Are you sitting over here saying we should just let our cities fall into the toilet, right?
Yeah.
Way to go, right?
Saving Detroit.
Detroit. That's
not happening.
Detroit is a wasteland. You can forget about there.
So you're saying that we shouldn't even save our cities. Let that thing fall into the toilet. Right? That's
man.
What?
You're breaking up again.
Okay, hold on, everybody, for a second. Detroit is a wasteland. And first of all.
Let it die, right? That's the Republican plan. Let it die, right?
No, that's the Republican.
What?
We should do nothing to save Detroit, right? Nothing.
Okay.
Y'all are breaking up.
I know.
All right, hold on. I'm gonna try to fix this
another way. There's no other way that I.
We should let our city, all right? Let our country's economic engine. You know, GM. You know, American cars, man. That's a symbol of America. We should just let that die, right? Give it to Toyota, right?
I don't know if I'm being hurt or not, but in my opinion, GM and Donald Trump are apples and oranges. Donald Trump is an entity who works for himself. GM is an entity that provides infrastructure. It provides jobs. It provides for other people.
But it didn't do that.
Right?
It didn't do that at all.
Toyotas, right? That's the fucking plan, right? Everybody just drives Hondas and Toyotas, right?
No, you're right.
I forgot about Hyundais. All right. Kia. Right. We shouldn't want to drop Cadillacs or anything like that. The president should want to drive a Toyota truck, a Tundra, right?
Okay, hold on. Now let's stop for a second. Let's stop. Everybody, listen real quick. This is the part that makes me laugh. One very important factor. Okay, the number one car sold in America is the Ford F-150. That's a fact. It has been for the past 7-8 years. The number two car, regular car, is made by Toyota. By the way, Toyota is in the United States. That's right. Somebody explain to me how Ford, Chrysler, no, actually, let me rephrase that. Chrysler, Dodge, and who's the other one? Chevy have the number one cars in the United States. Anybody?
I drive a Dodge.
So I'm just gonna ask you, James.
I drive a Ford, so I've driven a Ford for a number of years now.
Did Ford take a bailout?
It should have, because, again, with GM, it's you can actually call GM a national treasure.
Doesn't matter. It's a company.
Especially when... You know, every president and every American has been said, well, they're not American enough. Well, you drive a foreign car. This is an argument that has gone on for years. All right. However, so you want to have an American identity.
Okay. So wait a minute. Hold on. Let me ask you this. Let me go to Derek real quick.
Yeah.
Derek. Who did Obama give GM to?
Who did
he give it? We bailed it out. Who did he give it to?
Okay. I know you said over. You're saying tax holders are paying. You know, got the bulk of this GM thing. You're trying to say, right?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Who is now the CEO of GM?
The American taxpayer.
Wrong.
Who?
The former union boss. That's who the bailout went to.
The union boss, American.
The United Auto Workers CEO.
Dude, let me tell you something, man. You know, y'all got on Obama when his tour bus was made in Canada, dude. So, you know, now you're sitting up here saying
promoting American jobs.
Yeah.
Derek, come on, man.
You know, look, you had to
Every time
you get the Super Bowl MVP, they give out a Corvette, dude. Every year they give give out a Corvette. You know, they should give them a Nile.
What's that got to do with domestic policy?
Dude, like I said, GM is an American icon. That's an American symbol across the world, man. They see America, they see GM cars,
so
man.
By the way, just to let you know, that's not necessarily true. The first year that the Patriots won, they gave Tom Brady an SUV. It was an Escalade.
It was an American car. It's GM again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but you said they give you a Corvette.
Well, I ain't gonna lie. Every time I only sit there to watch the celebration when the Giants win, and they always give the Giants quarterback Corvette. You know what I'm saying?
So, forget it. Okay, so let's go back to the original question. Does Obama deserve to be reelected based upon the killing of Osama bin Laden?
Dude,
yes,
no one president wins for one thing, bro. But that was a huge feather in his cat. That was a pimp-sized feather that's like 6 feet long, dude.
Hold on, Derek. Derek, hold on. JC, how about you?
I don't think that no president should win for one thing. However, for every poison dart shot at him by the Republican Party, he has a right to defend himself with his Democratic shield, and that's one of them.
What poison dart was shot at him by the Republicans?
Everything that they claim that he's done wrong. Everything that he's done wrong. For everything that they point out that he's done wrong, he should point out everything that he's done right, and that just happens to be one of them.
JC, when he was first running, his whole campaign was about, if I don't do what I say I'm going to do
in three years, it's a one-term proposition.
And so one of the things he said he was going to do was what president has.
Okay, all right. Wait. I want to let Jamie filibuster. So, JC, hurry up.
No, I'm done.
Okay, James, I'll let you filibuster.
Well, according to Mary, what poison darts? And according to you yourself, when Obama was first running, especially you, Reese, because there was a thing, one of the main points was they didn't feel he could protect the country. He did that. That's number
what?
One. He
killing
did
Osama
that.
Bin
they
Laden
they thought that he was going to be so soft on the military, and again, they used Osama bin Laden as the boogeyman. They said that they felt that they didn't have any confidence in him getting Osama bin Laden.
You got the wrong person. The only person who said that was Hillary Clinton during the 2008 campaign when she ran the ad 3 a.m.
That's what the ad was called. It was mentioned, correct?
By Hillary, a Democrat. Who is his state
of a Democrat or not, there was still the general perception that under him, the country would be less safe. And it wasn't just Hillary, okay?
Really?
But under him, the country would be less safe. That's wrong.
Really? By whom?
Okay, regardless of by whom, if that's what your belief is, so what? Move on.
All right, so what?
So what? We got Osama bin Laden while he was in office. What else has he done? What has he done that he said he was going to do? And if he did not do, this was a one-term proposition. How about spending $19.2 billion on changing all medical health records electronic? $19.2 billion. On incentives for hospitals and doctors and all physicians to turn their medical health records into electronics.
Wait a minute. You still say that like that's a bad thing. Have you ever tried to go? Hold on. I was allowed to filibuster, correct?
No. You filibustered already. Give me a second. Right. How about a billion dollars on a joke-telling website?
I want to answer Mary's question.
How about $1 billion on a joke-telling website?
I want to answer Mary's question. We'll get to that later.
Please.
I don't know what that is.
Please.
But
please,
to answer Mary's question, all right, yeah, all right, you want to spend however $1 billion to turn our medical records into electronic. Have you ever been on vacation somewhere and tried to go to an emergency room?
What?
No.
All right. Well, the thing is, half the reason you don't get the right kind of medical attention is because, being that everything is on paper, unless you have your medical history in your purse or in your suitcase, then you are set to the side, or your medical attention is stalled.
Wait a minute. No, let me answer this. James, if you are on vacation somewhere and you have some major medical problem, you should be carrying something with you.
At all times?
At all times. They have little bracelets like, okay, I'm allergic to penicillin. If I get penicillin, I will die. I mean, my lungs shut down. I can't breathe. I'm anaphylactic. I always have something with me that says that I'm allergic to penicillin.
And James believes that we should spend $19.2 billion so you don't have to carry it around anymore.
No, but that $19.2 billion is only incentives for all medical practices, managed care practice.
Oh, it doesn't solve the problem.
No, those are incentives. And if you don't follow those, you can get those incentives, but eventually if you don't turn your practice or whatever you're doing in the medical field into electronics where you can interface with every other medical place, you will get penalized.
All right, well, that's about the end of this. I just wanted to know whether or not it was enough for him to be reelected. The president ran a campaign today, started his campaign with the Osama bin Laden killing, and I think it's a joke. Especially using Bill Clinton, the punk ass who wouldn't pull the trigger. I thank you guys for your time. For Derek the Bounty Hunter, JC the producer, the Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery, Mary, why you bugging? I am Reese on the radio. Enjoy your weekend. We never even gotten to Friday night dance party. That just sucks. Nonetheless, we had a great time. Everybody have a great weekend. We love you. That's about all I can say. Oh, let's listen to that again.
That's one thing George Bush said. It was right. The president is the decider in chief. Nobody can make that decision for you. Look, he knew what would happen. Suppose the Navy SEALs had gone in there and it hadn't been bin Laden. Suppose they'd been captured or killed. The downside would have been horrible for him. But he reasoned. I cannot in good conscience do nothing. He took the harder and the more honorable path. And the